take your Bibles this evening, and I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'll give you the title of the lesson tonight. It is this: Both Riches and Honor Come from the Lord. Both riches and honor come from the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Once you find 1 Chronicles 29, I'd like for you to find verse number 11. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. The title, one more time: Both Riches and Honor Come from the Lord. Would you please stand for a moment? And I'm going to read from verse number 11 through verse number 13. And the Bible says this: Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Of course, as you were listening to me read, you see the title tucked into those verses: Both Riches and Honor Come from God or Come from Thee. Let me pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to understand the Bible a little better. Help us to be better with our finances because of something that might be said this evening. Now, Holy Spirit of God, we need you to control this lesson. We need you to control as I talk, as we listen. Give us wisdom tonight to understand the Scripture, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 12 there, it said, Riches and honor come from thee. Your money or any form of increase that you receive, it comes from God. God created all the resources that we use, and we use them to build our own little fortunes. Let's just face it, the air that we breathe was given to us by God. We all understand every structure out there that's built of wood. God made the trees that gave us that wood. If you were to work in the food industry, God's the one that planted all those seeds that gave us all of the vegetables and all of the fruit. And if you work in the food industry, all the meat that's ever been eaten by anybody, it is God that created it all. God even created you, and we can do nothing without Him. Anytime this world moves forward, anytime this world increases, it's always increasing because of what God has done. That's the way it is. Now, money is anything that would customarily be used as a medium of exchange. And we're going to talk about that for a little while tonight. I'm going to talk to you about some things about increase. Sometimes we think when we talk about God increasing us, we think it all has to do with money. But I think there's a little more to it than that. So, again, the lesson is called Both Riches and Honor Come from the Lord. The first thing I want to say to you tonight is this. Realize that the Bible does not always use our modern day terms. I said this, realize that the Bible does not always use our modern day terms. We call it money. We call it cash. Maybe some still, but in the generation previous, there was a group that called it dough or bread. Have you ever heard someone call money moolah? Pay. We call it change. Or a check, or a money order, or lettuce, greenbacks, funds, capital, tender, wages, salary. Ever heard someone say, I've got a wad in my pocket? Now, it wasn't a wad of snot. It was a wad of money. I've got loot. You've heard loot in the loot bag. Coins. in the Bible, there are different terms used. I'm going to talk to you about those in a second. The top eight most tradable currencies right now in the world are these. In the United States, we call it a dollar. In Europe, they call it the euro. In Japan, they call it the yen. The British call it a pound. The Swiss call it a franc. The Canadians, they call it a dollar, but they've got some, what you might call, some odd coinage. They've got, I think they call them unis and toonies, and you say you're kidding. No, they've got some, their coinage is labeled a little bit differently. Now, in Australia or New Zealand, they still call it the dollar, and in South Africa, they call it the rand, R-A-N-D. Now, you understand that even though all of those terms are not the terms used in the Bible, God, He gave some terms. It has to do with money or increase. Increase or money through the ages. If you go back a long way, they didn't have coins and bills. They bartered. You say, what's bartering? That's mutual exchange. I raised carrots and you raised cabbage, and I wanted some cabbage and you wanted some carrots, so I gave you some of my carrots for your cabbage and you gave me some of your cabbage for my carrots. But that was an exchange, and it would have been like money. It was bartering. In Africa, there's a shell called the cowrie. And they're beautiful shells, and they end up get real polished because of the sand and the ocean. And they actually, for many years, used those shells as money because they were just gorgeous. It was very valuable to them, so they used those shells. In China, for the longest time, they actually used metals as their form of money. They used bronze and copper, and they would use that as their form of money. In Asia, They would cut little squares, almost like the size of one of our dollar bills, of leather, and they would paint on them. Not necessarily painting a one or a two or a three, but they would paint beautiful pictures on them, and they used those leather, and they used deer skin, and would cut out a piece of that deer skin, paint on it, and they would use that like a form of money. The American Indians, they traded or used what they called wampum. You know, all ever heard of wampum? Wampum was a set of gorgeous beads that they put together, and that's how they would trade. When we say sometimes here at church, we'll say we're going to have a potluck dinner, and you've all heard that terminology. That the word potluck, if you look at its origin, it is actually where they started out using food like money. And they would make food, and that's how they would pay someone. Let's face it, you go back in history, and someone came to a farmer's house. He did not have money to pay someone to help him on his farm, but he would pay them in food. And they called it potluck. Matter of fact, the more they wanted to pay someone, the bigger the feast would be that they would give them in regard to the food. And that started out with the Chinook Indians many, many years ago. When they began to trade, they had nothing with which to trade. And they might trade with pelts, but they traded a lot with their feasts. They would have big feasts and use it to trade. But it was money. Now, you say, well, all that's in history. Well, now we've got electronic funds, Bitcoin, is that what they call it? Which, again, very, very interesting. It's just another form of money, another form of increase. How many of you have ever heard the terminology paying out the nose, paying through the nose? And I'll tell you where that came from. In Ireland, if you owed money to the government and you did not pay on time, they would snip one of your nostrils of your nose. They would put a cut in your nose, and it would be very obvious, and it would end up scarring. But they were marking you because they were saying you are one that will not pay right. And that's where the term paying out the nose actually came from. And what that would say is if you looked at someone and, you know, part of their nose was flapping in the wind, you would say that person, they've been marked because they don't pay their bills right, and it would warn people about doing business with them. Now, all of that, just to say this, not all the time does God use the terms that we use. When you're going through the Bible, you don't see the word dollar or euro or yen or pound or franc or rand. You don't see that in there. God uses some different terms. Let me familiarize you with some of those terms. For instance, God uses the word mammon, M-A-M-M-O-N. The Bible says this. It says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the word mammon is in the Bible numerous times, but it is one of God's references, or the one of the words that God would use for money. The word money is used in the Bible. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, God says this, for the love of money is a root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people misquote or misteach that verse. This does not say that money is a root of all evil. There's nothing wrong with money. There's something wrong with man. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And I would also say this, and I don't want to teach on this, but there's a difference in evil and sin. This is not saying that money is the root of all sin. It's saying money is the root of all evil. And evil is far more intense, in my opinion, than is sin. But now we see God doesn't use the same words we use. He might not have in the Bible, he won't refer to money as, you know, I gave this guy 10 bucks. God doesn't say that. He'll talk about mammon. He will use the word money. He also uses the word increase. Increase. That's additional. That's surplus money. 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, over and over again, when you see the word increase, God is saying, I increased you. What's that mean? He gave you more. And it doesn't always have to be money, but there's increase, and that's one of the words that God uses in reference to what we commonly consider money. The Bible will use the word riches. It's in reference to money. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, it says, and God said unto him, because thou hast not asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hath asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. This is a story of Solomon seeking, rather than money, seeking wisdom, which was the best decision he could have made. But here it is the word riches, and that God is referring to money. He's referring to increase. He's referring to those things that would be added to us. And now, there's another verse that's used in the Bible. It's the word substance. And the word substance is talking about our increase. It's basically the word money. In Genesis 13:6, it says, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. You say, does that mean that they had wads and wads of money? Well, not necessarily, but you have to remember, not all the way through history have they used paper money or coin money. Remember, there were bartering situations, and so someone had great substance, and that's one of the ways that God would refer to or teach us about money. So, I said this, number one, realize that the Bible does not always use our modern day terms for money. God has some terms that he uses, and a few of them we still use. We still use the word money, but some of the others, hardly ever do you hear someone talk about mammon. You don't, people will talk about riches some, but they don't use the word increase a lot and the word substance a lot. Just because the words that God uses are not exactly like our words, I think we all know what we're talking about. That we get in exchange for work, and that comes to us, we use it to trade. And so, now, number two, The Bible does not use the same money denominations that we use. And you say, what do you mean by denominations? I'm not talking about Lutheran and Methodist and Baptist. I'm talking about the quantity, the number. For instance, we have pennies. We have nickels. We have dimes and quarters. And they make half dollars and they make silver dollars. We have a $1 bill. You can still get some $2 bills, but they're not real common. We use $5 bills in America. We use tens. We use $20 bills and $50 bills and $100 bills. But the Bible does not use those same denominations. Let me show you what the Bible uses for money. These are denominations or values on money. In the Bible, there is a value called a farthing. A farthing. Let me read a verse to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 29, it says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father." Now, a farthing was equivalent to about a quarter of a penny. But a farthing is a coin, if you will. It's a very small denomination of money that's taught in the Bible. Now, they used a thing in the Bible, and you'll hear reference to it in the Bible. It's a gold shekel. A gold shekel. First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight." So God uses the term farthing. He uses gold shekels. Then there is a word, it's manne, it's like money, but it's spelled different. It's M-A-N-N-E-H. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 45, verse number 12. Let me read that verse to you. "And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your mene." And it's like the word money, but it's spelled totally different. Then, there is a more popular Bible term for money. It's called a mite. Now, many of you have heard of the mite because how the widow had given her mites to the Lord. That word is found in Luke chapter 12, verse number 59. It says this, "I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite." You say, how much is a mite? A mite, it's inference or it's reference here. It is the smallest possible denomination of money in that culture. So when they talked about this widow's mites, everybody knew she gave the smallest little amount that could be given. Now, the Bible does use the term penny, and so you read about it in Matthew chapter 20, verse 2. It says, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." So there's a farthing, there's a gold shekel, there is mene, there is a mite, there is penny. Then the Bible does use the word pound. Wouldn't have been referred to the same way that the money from England would have been used. They would talk about a pound. But at Luke 19:16 it says, "Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. My 10 pounds have gained 50. I understand that poundage thing right there. But pound is a reference in the Bible to money. Then, the Bible also uses the word talent. Talent, not like someone that sits down and plays the piano talent. A talent is a kind of money. Now they had a talent of silver. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter 38, verse 25. It says, "And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents. And so this talent was a form of money. And remember, what I'm telling you is the Bible does not use the same denominations or the same divisions of money. We have pennies, nickels, quarters, dimes, silver dollars, half dollars, $1 bills, $5, tens, 20s, 50s, hundreds. They had farthings, gold shekels. They had mites and pennies and pounds, talents. Then there's not only a talent of silver, there was a talent of gold. 1 Kings 9:14, it says that Haran sent to the king 60 talents of gold. The Bible also refers to some precious metals and things like that. It refers to gold, silver, copper, iron, jewels, and then of course, when the bartering system, they would trade camels and horses, and they would trade vegetables and oils. And so, the Bible, we don't see it exactly the way they did in years gone by, but it's still all the same concept. So I said, number one, realize the Bible does not always use our modern day terms for money. I said, number two, the Bible does not always use the same denominations that we would use for money. Number three, increase comes in more forms than just cash. Now, increase is something that we're interested in. We all want to increase monetarily. We all want to increase. Everybody would like to increase their money. But you have to understand, according to the Bible, increase does not just come by way of money or cash. For instance, God increases seed. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, it says this. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, and thy firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And by the way, what that teaches is you need to tithe because you need to learn to fear the Lord. And that's what that verse said right there at the end. But notice, it talked about the increase of their seed. It talked about the increase of their corn. It talked about the increase of the juice that came from their grapes. It talked about the increase of their oil. It talked about the increase of their herds. And more than likely, this was written to a farming community that was not using gold or silver or coins or dollar bills. What their money was their seed. Their money would be their cattle or their camel. So if God said, I'm going to increase, in this case, I'm going to increase your bank account, what he was really doing was increasing the number of cattle in their field. They might not have traded with cash at all. So the whole point that I'm teaching is this. Increase comes in more ways than just cash. God increased the fruit in the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 36 and 37, it says, Behold, we are servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat, the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase. So now, here is someone that is a fruit farmer. And God's going to bless them financially. But he didn't say a word about giving them gold or silver or dollar bills or euros or yen. He said, I'm going to multiply your fruit. That was increase. The seed was multiplied. That was increase. The Bible talks about the increase that God gave in regard to kine or sheep. The word kine is K-I-N-E, I think is how it's spelled. It's a female, it's a type of a cow, it's a breed of a cow that's a female. And then the sheep, listen to this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13, it says, And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, the increase of thy kine, and flocks of sheep. Now, here's someone that was a cattle farmer, and God said, I'm going to bless you, and your payment will be that you'll have more cattle. And here God is saying, someone was a sheep herder, a sheep farmer, and God said, you're getting a bonus. I'm increasing your paycheck. He said nothing about giving them pennies or nickels or quarters. They're not getting a money order. What are they getting? They're getting more sheep. God is increasing them. And the whole concept I'm wanting you to grasp is, you increase, but you increase in more ways than just cash. They increased in seed, and in corn, and in oil, and in fruit, and in sheep, and in cattle. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I'm not going to take the time to read it all, because Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1 through 12, talks about all the ways that God was increasing people. And I can tell you this, it was nothing but benefits. God never said He gave them gold or silver or dollar bills or 20s or 50s. He said, I am going to increase you in benefits. Did you know that God not only increases you with cash, He increases you with benefits? Well, let's just take a job. The average man or lady here, you go for a job interview. They'll say to you, I'm going to pay you $15 an hour. And then you may ask the question, any other benefits? And if they say yes, you know what? That benefit is an increase. If you're making $15 an hour and then they also give you health insurance, you could find out what that insurance costs, and virtually they're giving you that money. That's an increase. So I said, number one, the Bible does not use the same modern day terms as what we might use in describing money. I said, number two, the Bible does not use the same money denominations that we use. I said, number three, increase comes in more forms than just cash. Number four, God gives the increase. The Bible is very clear about that. God gives the increase. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 12, and this is the verse where we started tonight. It says this, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Everybody here, you need to understand, your increase came from God. You say, oh, no. And I've had people virtually want to argue this. I said, no, I earned my increase. Your increase came from God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Everything that you have, you got from God. Everything. Again, listen to the verse. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is in this day. It is He that giveth power to get wealth. God is the one that gives you the ability to increase. You say, it's my boss. Now, thank God for bosses, but it is your increase comes from God. You say, it's my husband. Thank God for good husbands. And I think men are supposed to work, and I think bosses are supposed to build their businesses. But everybody needs to understand your increase comes from God. You say, I got it from my parents. Well, they got it from God. James chapter 1, verse number 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. So what you have, you need to stop and realize, you may have worked, but you got it from God. You say, well, how can that be so if I worked? Well, let me ask you a couple simple questions. Whose air were you breathing when you worked? Well, I think that was God's. Whose earth were you standing on while you were working? Now, if you'd like to try this on your own, God might be able to work it out. You go find your own earth, breathe your own air, drink your own water, and eat your own food. Then you could take credit for what you just did. But since none of that is yours, you couldn't even exist without God. He's the source of everything. And all your increase, though we labor, because that is the concept, that is the teaching, that's what God told us to do. You better stop and realize it came from God. Now, I think it's a good idea that if your boss gave you a paycheck, I think it's a good idea to thank him. But right after you thank him, you need to slide off to the break room and say, God, thank you. Thank you for my paycheck. And I think gratitude towards your boss is a good thing. But the one that gives you your increase is the great God of the universe. Remember, the lesson tonight is entitled, Both Riches and Honor Come from God. Realize the Bible doesn't always use our modern day terms for money. Realize the Bible doesn't always have the same denominations that we might have in our money. The increase comes in more forms than just cash. It can come in seed or corn or oil or juice or fruit or sheep or even in the benefits that we're given. And then God is the one that gives us our increase. Now, I would like to recommend this to you next. And number five, we should thank God for all our increases. Thank God for all our increases. Thank God for all the money. Thank God for all those things that He gives us. Now, the first thing on my list here under thanking God for all increase, obviously, is money. If you have a job and you earn money, you ought to thank God for that. You might say, well, I really need to make more. Can I recommend something to you? If you need to make more, it might be smart that you thank God for what you're already getting. You say, well, I'd thank Him if I had more. He'd like to know that you'd thank Him for what He's giving you. And maybe He would believe then if He gave you more, you'd continue to thank Him. But what chance is there? If you won't thank Him for what you have, why would He believe that you would thank Him if He gave you more? And so, we ought to thank God for increase when it comes to money. Hey, I expect there's somebody in here, and I know we have some folks in our church that do some farming, and they do some gardening, and they sell some of their vegetables and things like that. Let me tell you something. You ought to thank God when your garden's doing well. That comes from God. You say, no, that comes from Miracle-Gro. No. It is God that giveth the increase. If you raise and sell watermelons and you do well, it is God that giveth the increase. And if you're raising corn and you sell that corn or you eat that corn, it is God that giveth the increase. So farmers get their increase from God. Fishermen. And because of the part of the country we live in, there are people around our city that earn part of their living fishing. And I understand that. Well, let me tell you something. It is God that giveth the increase. God gives the increase. You say, well, we had a great catch today. It is God that giveth the increase. And increase is not always dollar bills. Increase is not always 50 cent pieces. Increase is when God gives you whatever it is. It all comes from God. Hey, we have two or three men that work in logging. Do you know something? It is God that giveth the increase. Those trees, who grew those trees? Said, well, you know, the state grew some of them. Where'd the state get the dirt? Where'd they get the seed? God. It is God that giveth the increase. Are you a hunter? Now, we don't, in our culture, we most people don't hunt for a living. But I can promise you, you go back in history, there were people that had to hunt to stay alive, and I would say to them and anybody, it is God that giveth the increase. All increase. Now let me tell you, sometimes we get to thinking that the only increase that we pay attention to maybe is what we see monetarily, cash. Oh, there's more to it than that. Once again, if you work for someone and they give you a life insurance policy, that's increase. And if they give you health insurance, that's increase. If they give you a housing, some people work for a company and the company pays some of their rent, that's increase. Company car, that's increase. I receive. Part of my salary, I get a gas allowance. That's increase. You know what? The church was very kind to Mrs. Owens and I. We recently celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary, and you gave us some nice things. You know, that was increase. That was God increasing me. And I would tell you this, just so you know, every gift card that we receive, we tithe on it. I don't have a health insurance. We have a thing that's it's a share program for Christians, and the church helps pay for some of that. I pay tithe on every penny of that. I pay tithe on my gas allowance. You give me a gift card, I tithe on that gift card. Why? It's increase. Now, let me go on to point number six. We are to tithe on our increase, is what the Bible teaches. See, we think, in our limited way, we're to tithe on our dollar bills. But wait a minute, does that mean the people that back in the day when all they did was raise corn and they didn't have dollar bills, that they weren't to tithe? You say, no, if their crops did well, God increased their crops. They were tithe on their crops. Well, if that be the case, then if you have increase that's other than dollar bills, it also is a part of your increase. For instance, let me read to you Luke chapter 18, verse number 12. It says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes on all that I possess, not just my money. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse number 28, it says, and at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year. You can see, you can increase corn and seed and honey, and I'm not going to take you to all the verses, and oxen and spices and herbs. The Bible teaches that we are to, when we tithe, we're to tithe. It doesn't say just tithe on your money. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says tithe on your increase. So if you ever wondered, you're to tithe on your gross, not your net. And if God increases you, let's say somebody gives you a nice gift and God has just increased you. And God says, that is something that I've given you and I've increased you. You say, but listen, it was a gift. I understand. And what you give to God is taught scripturally. You can check on this if you want, but I'm not making this up. This isn't Owensology. This is what the scripture teaches. So we're to tithe on all our increase. Mrs. Owens and I have been in the ministry a long time. And there have been more than one time when our pockets were empty. And we just didn't have any money. I can think of times when people would bring us groceries. And we were happy to see them coming. Because we couldn't afford. We didn't have any money to buy any groceries. And I've watched her more than one time. We'd receive those groceries. She'd put them on the kitchen table. She'd get an extra bag out, and she'd pull one-tenth of the food out of what was just given to us, and we'd give it away. Why? Because God just increased us, and now we're going to tithe on how He increased us. Now, let me recommend something to you. Don't rob God. The Bible tells us, it says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And it says, in tithes and offerings. So, as you look through the Bible, and you say, is God greedy? Oh, no. God gave you everything you have. He only asks for a little back. And you say, does He need it? No. You need to give it. Because He knows that's best for you. So, the lesson tonight is this. Both riches and honor come from God. And God doesn't use the exact terms that you and I use, and the denominations are not exactly alike, but through all of history, there has been bartering, but all that man is given to him from God. And anything that is given to us is increase from God. And the Bible's real clear. You and I are to give back to God, not based on how many $1 bills we received, but on our increase. And there's a difference in increase and dollar bills. Does that make sense to you? Are some of you in shock? Okay. All right. So, let me read to you again, one last time, from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I'm going to read verse 11, 12, and 13. It says this, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee." Everything you have, God gave it to you. Everything. And he says, I'll increase you, and you just shove a little bit up back my way. But it's from your increase.